Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. I am very privileged to have as a friend and colleague at the Center for Security Policy our Executive Vice President. He is Jim Hansen, an operator in the United States Army Special Forces, and who brings what I think of as the boots-on-the-ground perspective to a lot of our national security deliberations and conversations here at Secure Freedom Radio, frequently my guest host. Always a pleasure to have you with us, Jim. Thanks for taking a few minutes to talk a bit about, the war for the free world, as we call it.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Frank.
I'm particularly interested in your thoughts about the remarks that General John Campbell, the commanding general of U.S. forces in Afghanistan, made before the Senate Armed Services Committee yesterday, to the effect that we better not do what President Obama has in mind, which is essentially pulling the plug on Afghanistan, as he did previously with respect to Iraq. What are your thoughts about that recommendation and the prospects that the president will accept it?
Yeah, I think the recommendation is based on, as you mentioned, direct evidence that fighting a war, disrupting the entire internal operations of a country, failing to prosecute the war to a successful finish and then leaving is a recipe for disaster. It's actually worse than fighting it or not fighting it at all. So I think the idea that Obama is looking at doing the exact same thing that led to the rise of ISIS, which is now an intercontinental caliphate, and do that again in Afghanistan is a nightmare scenario. And I would hope there's a possibility he will heed the advice of General Campbell. I think more likely he will make a token gesture, and leave some sort of provisional force there. Not enough to do anything, but enough to say he did something. That seems to be the Obama way.
And just see what he can do to run the clock out on the rest of his administration, presumably without intensifying the conflict. And yet, I think based on what General Campbell was talking about, that conflict is going to intensify, whether there are still some token numbers of U.S. forces there or not. We'll be talking shortly with Diana West, whose view is to get the hell out. But I do wonder, Jim, as you talk about an intercontinental caliphate, whether they're doing business as the Islamic State, which it now appears some former Taliban and perhaps al-Qaeda folks are doing in Afghanistan, or whether they're just the vanilla-flavored Taliban, or for that matter, al-Qaeda. They're on the march in Afghanistan, it seems, at the moment, not just in Kunduz, but elsewhere across the country. And it does seem as though we're going to relinquish that country to them if we proceed as President Obama envisions. And what might the repercussions be more broadly, Jim? You've confronted these guys in uniform as well as out over many years now. There's some reason to believe they're actually emboldened when they think they've defeated us, isn't there?
Yeah, I think the strong horse concept has been in play in the Islamic world forever. They believe that you follow the strong horse. We have, over the past 8 years, shown we are not. President Obama has made us the weaker of all the horses. He doesn't want to be one among equals. He wants to be last in line. And I think that has led to all of our enemies around the world doing a lot. But in Afghanistan alone, the Taliban is just as likely to be running large chunks of that country as any form of the elected government that we had a hand in putting in place. And then you can add to the fact that another thing General Campbell said was Iran is supplying the Taliban. So Obama's Partners for Peace, another one of those countries he has such trust to do good things with, has been supplying, IEDs and weaponry and everything else and basically having a hand in the rise of the Taliban in Afghanistan. So I don't know that we've seen anything but good there.
Jim, you took the point at the Center for Security Policy in a new publication, kind of the sequel or the operational orders flowing from our Secure Freedom Strategy. It's called Cut Down the Black Flag. Talk a bit about the book, what it recommends, and what we're doing to try to call attention to it.
Well, Frank, as you mentioned, the Secure Freedom Strategy, you had the lead in putting together another tiger team of experts to look at the global problem we have with jihadists. And we came up with what I think is the best way to describe them as the global jihad movement. They may not all be affiliated. They may not all, you know, have meetings and share union cards, but they all have one goal, and that is Islamic supremacy. And so calling them the global jihad movement and having a coherent strategy to deal with them around the world using all of our power, you know, using economic, diplomatic, intelligence, and when necessary, military power is really the only way to deal with what is a cultural war and a war for the free world. So the Cut Down the Black Flag book takes a look at the violent jihadists, ISIS, the Islamic State, and the caliphate that they have put up in Iraq and Syria. And instead of the Obama non-strategy of, you know, pinprick airstrikes and not really putting enough effort into it to have a chance of winning, we put together an idea that maybe if we take our few friends in the region, especially the Kurds, some of the Sunni tribes that help us fight al-Qaeda in Iraq, and then really take the rules of engagement and cut our own troops there loose without, you know, putting a huge deployment into play, we could probably kill ISIS in that area and at least look at having a stable Kurdistan, a stable Sunni region in Anbar, and then leave the Baghdad government, which is an Iranian puppet, to its own devices. So that's the outline of the plan.
This is really, obviously, urgently needed as a contribution to the debate, and hopefully something that can be acted upon, quickly embraced by both Republicans and Democrats, because what we've got now sure is not working and creating grief, as we've described, not just in Iraq or Syria, for that matter, but Afghanistan and now Africa and beyond. Jim, let me turn to a couple of other places where General Campbell's recommendation that we revisit some of the policy choices, decisions that the president has made would seem to me to be equally in order. Give us a flavor of what you make of what Russia is up to at the moment, not just in Syria, but also in Ukraine and potentially beyond.
You know, Russia has always had imperial ambitions. They're only happy as an empire. And whether they have the, you know, the actual resources to be anything vaguely resembling the Soviet Union is not really likely. You know, that was a different time. But they certainly have the resources and the will and the ability to be a major player in the global power game for one simple reason. They're willing to. You know, they're willing to act. If you act, you take everybody who's unwilling to act out of play. And that's one thing Putin has never been afraid of. He is willing to hit somebody and then worry about what's going to happen next. And that has really put him in a position right now as one of the major players in the game. And as, you know, countries around the world look to see who should I ally with, who should I be scared of, who should I listen to, who should I ignore, President Obama has put us in the position of not just becoming unnecessary. We're no longer, you know, the one country everybody had to pay attention to. We're a country that they can afford to thumb their nose at. And Putin is taking full advantage of that and replaced us as the not the world's policeman, the world's thug. And it has not done well for anybody's security.
Jim, in closing, let me just ask quickly, against the backdrop of what you've described here, we're told that the president is determined to veto the National Defense Authorization Act. A two-thirds majority has approved it, more than a two-thirds majority in the Senate, but not in the House. Do you anticipate that we're going to see the annual defense authorization bill rejected by the president?
Yeah, I actually do. I think he's got nothing to lose. He's, you know, he's full of flexibility, as he told the Russians a while ago. He's in his last stretch, and he's going to do the things he wants, not what's good for the country. And he's bound and determined to close Gitmo, and there are provisions to stop him from doing that in that bill. And he also doesn't like the way the spending's set up. But I think, honestly, I think it's more about Gitmo than anything else. And I think he's willing to do that. And I just hope that the House and Senate have the will to do what's right for the country and override him.
I think it has to do with Gitmo, of course, but I think it also has to do with the fact that he wants to break the military. And if it isn't going to be completely broken by him, at least he's going to spring loose money that the Sequestration Act precludes from going into the various civilian priorities. Anyway, we'll be watching it closely, as I know will you. Jim Hansen of the Center for Security Policy, thanks as always for your work, my friend. We'll look forward to talking with you again very soon. Next up, we'll be speaking with Diana West, get her take on the Afghan debacle and more right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.